Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to have a hallelujah, let her rip fellowship. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Wait just a minute, my oil dropped. Every now and then you have to check your oil. Your engines don't run exactly the way they should. Our theme is the triumphant bride. And I kind of like that, the triumphant church, the glorious church, the manifest sons of God, the manifest women of God, the manifest puppies of God. You know, we're looking for something to be manifest besides an opinion. Can you hear what I'm saying? So when faith cometh by hearing, and we'll hear, today will be a teaching, and I want to leave with making a deposit. And people say, what's the difference between a teaching and a preaching? It's about 15 minutes. So it's what the teaching is to touch your brain. The preaching, when it's inspired, not perspired, but when it's inspired, will touch your spirit, man, and cause your faith to rise. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And the Word of God says that his ultimate purpose, you have to understand about purpose. Purpose and destiny are two different things. Your purpose, God says, for his purpose, you were created. Let's stop and think about it. This is in the book of Revelation, where it says, for God's purpose, you are created. And so I asked the Lord, what if I'm made for your purpose and my purpose never changes, could you please tell me what makes you happy if I'm made for your purpose, not made for my purpose? And he said, I'm so glad you ask, because you've been sincere about a lot of things. You were just sincerely wrong. Have you ever had someone give you a gift and you knew they didn't know you? Didn't want to hurt their feelings, but there was no place to put this cherished thing. And if they don't stop to get to know you, they're going to keep giving you a fishing pole or something that does not fit into your scheme of action or activity. So the way we get to know God is inquire of him and say, what makes you happy? You know, happy is the man or woman whose God is the Lord. Okay, that's what makes you happy. But what makes God happy? I said, would you just tell me? Because it can't be complicated. You know, when people make things so complicated, you just think, now, what'd they say? What they talking about? You know, we say, irate individuals residing in crystallized domiciles should not permit to be heard geological formations, you know. You think, oh, what'd you say? People that live in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks. But we need to break it down and talk in. Jesus reduced his language, who is fully God. He talked on the sixth grade level, and the majority of his ministry was storytelling. Break it down. And people say, why you tell so many stories? And I said, because people remember the story instead of the teaching. So I'll interrupt myself with a story every now and then so that you can say, oh, that's why she was talking about that, talking about purpose. I hear people say, what is my purpose? You know, what is my ministry? You know, and we think, Your ministry is to make God happy. So that's what you were created for. And I said, Lord, what makes you happy? He says, I am so glad you asked. The one and the only thing that makes me happy, the only thing that I'm in agreement with, is my opinion. So I thought, I learned that living with my husband. I found out what makes the boy happy is when he says, well, I think we ought to do so and so and such. And instead of me saying, we can't possibly do that, and come against his opinion, I'll say, well, I think that's a great idea. Then he says, well, you're the smartest little woman I ever saw, you know. And then he gives me the master charge, you know. And this, and so what we have to do is find out what makes God happy is his opinion. And he's written it out. He's written it out. He says, this is what I want you to know. I want you to agree with me. You say, I say all that are redeemed hear my voice. But yet you'll hear people say, I just don't know the voice of God. I just don't hear. So you're testifying against God. You say, well, I don't want to tell a lie. Well, quit agreeing with what you feel and begin to agree with what you say you have faith in. The doctor says you're sick, you're oppressed, suppressed, repressed, depressed, possibly possessed. You got all these things that are going on in your life at one time, and you just say, what am I going to do? You look at the Word of God. The Word of God says, are you saved? You say, yes, praise God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you can't know that except God reveal it to you. No man cometh to the Father except through the Son. No man cometh to the Son except the Father draw him. So I know it's simplistic, but we have to be reminded, wait a minute, what is salvation? Healing, delivering, and prosperity. Those are three things you will not need in the next life. You understand? So don't think I'm going to fly away and someday I'll get all this. This is for this realm. Healing, deliverance, and prosperity. So if you're not healed, thrilled, chilled, and filled, it's time for you to change your mind. And the way that you, all of the negative things that are going on in your body, I love the dance. I thought, dear God, if she can dance like that sick, don't that make the devil mad? You know, just praise God. I mean, he tried, but he lost again. Can you say amen? Did the best he could, but he can't keep, you can't keep a person that's agreeing with the Word of God, and you can't keep them down. You've got to understand, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I found out if I will agree with God and George, my life will be very, very uncomplicated. You know, if you want to get along, then you begin to say, God is not going to tell you something apart from the Word of God. He's not going to do that, but he's wanting to take you up higher and higher. And we say, well, the motion of deity is a circle, that what comes from God comes back to God as God. So God's ultimate purpose is that turning you into Elohims, turning you into God. It's not imitations of God, but we are of like nature and ability. So he says, now what Jesus did, he came and judicially, legally defeated hell, death, and the grave, took the keys to the kingdom. And he says, now I'm going to go for a while, but it's expedient for you that I go, because when I go, the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, is going to come in you. And where I've been with you, now I'll be in you. Now, instead of one Jesus, there'll be billions of Jesuses all over the place. Not imitations. Not imitations. You know, it's a... what is the purpose of a triumphant, victorious, glorious church? Well, God's original plan was to create a companion of like nature and ability. And the Holy Ghost says, well, I'll go to earth and I will do that for you. I'll go into people. I will change their mind. I will change their destiny. I will change their lives. And I will turn them into sons of God. And when they breathe the breath of God, the lame leap, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb sing. You say, what's keeping that from manifesting? Well, we need a quota of men and women who are not just making mental assent to it, but are getting up and doing something with it. Can you say amen? So when you get a report that there's something going on in your body, something going, anything that has to do with your money, anything that has to do with demons coming against you, anything that has to do with your health, you are supposed to walk in victory. And you say, well, wait a minute, I have to bear my cross daily. Well, if you're dead, you don't have to. You know, it's a... that you have to understand all of those until things. Jesus has paid the price for all your sin, all the sin you ever did or ever will do. Don't you love that? What is sin? It's simply missing the mark. And the biggest miss in the mark is not agreeing with God. If you can just agree, if he says you're healed, if he says you're delivered, if he says that you are a child of God, listen to this. I'm going to read some stuff to you because I'm teaching today, and I'm going to get excited. So you just get ready. Pay attention. Glory to God. This is where I get up in the morning. I say, Father, I just thank you right now. I am a God's child. I'm born of an incorruptible seed. Glory to God. And I say, you need to show me where that is in the Bible. And because every seed reproduces its own kind. If you plant tomatoes, you'll not get potatoes. I don't care how much you pray. You know, you're going to have to understand, you are born. You are God's child. You are God's child. I am born again of an incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abideth forever. Can't change it. Somebody walk up and call you a motorcycle. So I had a revelation. 14 angels came in and told me last night. that you're not really a human being. And you say, oh my God, I'm a motorcycle. In all this time, I thought I was a human being. Can people talk you out of what you know? You know, don't get nervous when somebody calls you something, when God calls you something else. God called you a son of God. He says that you are forgiven of all your sins and washed in the blood of the Lamb. How many sin? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sinless. John, I'm sinless. You got that. Okay, you got that. So I'm not going to miss the mark because I am encompassed by these incredible angelic beings, and every time I make up a mess, they fix it. Do you believe it? So when I was talking last night, I said, you get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and you hear these voices. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You need to go do this. Why didn't you call? Why didn't you write? Why didn't you respond? Why do you always mess up? And I thought, why am I listening to this stuff? I'm just coming. Does anybody hear voices except me? Praise God. You know, just, the enemy is out doing the best he can to dig up the seed. Because if I'm doing what I'm doing now, I'm about to be his worst nightmare when I choose to agree with God. That's triumphant. That's victorious. That's on fire, ignited and excited. So if I'm forgiven of all my sins, according to Ephesians 1 and 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. We have all the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Not based on mine, it's based on his. Yippee-ki-yay. You know, who needs to learn to say, oh, I agree with God? He said, all of your children are disciples taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. You say, well, mine are in jail. And, you know, they're rebellious and hostile and mean. And you keep confessing that. You're not agreeing with God. You have to begin to create with the fruit of your lips. You have the ability, instead of looking at a person, that old pothead, you know, they've been no good all their life. You know, it's a... Those words go out and God lives in you, and the word has such power. And then all of hell, the devil has no power except what the church gives him. Are you hearing me? We're talking, say triumphant church, glorious church. God's plan, his original plan, the universe was created for one purpose. Purpose never changes, to generate, to nurture, to educate, to bring forth an eternal companion for the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, a companion of like nature and like ability. You are a co-regent with God. So quit acting like a galley maid. You know, I can't get it, don't have no money, can't buy anything. I'm just poor. And I said, well, wait, I thought you said you were saved. Yeah, well, I am saved. I'm going to go to heaven someday. God's going to fall on me. Some big angel with a stick's going to hit me up. I'm going to lose 30 pounds while I go to bed. It's just, they say, dear God, what happened along the way? What happened to say, I am a new creature in Christ? I've become a heavenly species. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, he is a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, pay attention. Everything from God's perspective have been made new. You don't have a past. In light of what will last, you ain't got no past. Who says amen? So let's kill the old man. Let's kill that sucker today. Praise God. He is a liar. And if something's dead, let's have a funeral. Let's just take all of these things and say, you didn't do this, and you should have done that. You know, you've had an abortion, you had a divorce, and you're never going to be qualified for anything. Keep believing all that lies. You know, and you just sit there and watch all the good big people do stuff. You're the good folks. Praise God. You don't have a past. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't have a past. And then turn to the other neighbor and say, I don't have a future either. I've got a now. I've got a now. This is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day. Can you say amen? It's so significant. The Word of God tells us if anything has passed away, I can't run to the graveyard every day and dig up the old man and sniff him out and see if he's really dead. Because if I do that, I'm going to smell like death all the time. You handle old dead things, maggots crawling all over. You think that's going to make you happy? You think you're going to be able to draw people and they want to get what you've got? My God, I got enough problems over here. I'm a heroin addict, but now you're over here. You're a necromancer. I don't want to fool with you. Don't talk to the dead. Are y'all listening to me? I'm going to help you today. The Word of God tells me in 1 Corinthians 6:19, this is the promise of God. This is a triumphant church. This is the victorious, triumphant bride of Christ. This is the sons of God. This is everything that God has on his mind. The Word of God describes, he describes the church as his bride, the Lamb's wife. She is not the engaged bride. You cannot be a bride unless you're married. So quit waiting for some horse to come sweep you off your feet and take you someplace where you can eat for 7 years. It's a killed another golden calf here. Praise God. there's a better day for the church. Can you say amen to that? And Jesus is not coming to get you, he's coming to meet you, which means you had best be on your way. The Word of God says you are the temple, the dwelling place, the house of the Holy Ghost. God, what can he not do? Tell me what the Holy Spirit can't do. The Word of God, the love of God, and the power of God, the triple braided cord. God is love, Jesus is the Word, but the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, he's the power, he's the dynamite, he's the explosion, he's the healer, the deliverer, the defender. Oh my goodness, he's in charge of power. How many of you want to walk in power? Well, you're full of the Holy Ghost. I won't elaborate what you're full of, but it's that what you yield your body to, that becomes your God. So you are as full of God as you are empty of self. Do not allow the Adamic nature to dwell in your mind. I don't know. Am I going too fast? Do not allow. You're the only one that can keep that sucker out. You know, you have to remind him. He's trying to remind you of your past, and you're supposed to be reminding him of his future. Do you understand? Turn that thing around. The scripture tells me in Colossians 1 and 13 that I am not going to be someday if I do good and tithe. If I go to church every Sunday. If I never lose my temper. My human doesn't show up. Well, we have this treasure in dirt so that the excellency may be of God. That, you know, in the I did study on the priestly garments, and I found out when Aaron, you know, in the Old Testament, the only way you could be a priest unto God, priests bring the people to God and God to the people, and the only way you could be that is that you had to be born into the tribe of Levi. But in the New Testament, the way you become a priest is you have to be born again. And you're set in as kings that decree, declare, and proclaim. As priests, they bring the people to God and God to the people, and a prophetic generation having the mind of God and declaring it. This is what prophets do. Prophets hear God and they give it back. They send up the vapor so God can send down the rain. You got to open your mouth. You got to, let me out, praise God. You say, what if I do it wrong? Count on it. You know, it's going to happen. Praise God. Have you ever done anything in your life where you're learning how to do something that you didn't know you did it wrong? Praise God. How many times did you fall off your bicycle before you learned to ride it? How many times did you want to throw your computer in the ocean before you mastered it? How many times once you mastered it, they got a new plan out? Selah. Praise God. He's taking you up. We're not going just around in endless cycles. We are spiraling upward, and we're being conformed into the image of the dear Son of God. That conform means you're being squeezed. You're being squeezed because what he's squeezing, he's taking away the old to establish the new. You say, well, that means scripture. That means he's taking away the Old Testament to establish the New Testament. Well, believe what you want to believe. This is what God is doing. He's taken away all those traditions, thoughts, ideas, and concepts that served you when you were a baby. But he's not doing that anymore. You know, Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like one, acted like one, talked, you know. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I've got a series called There's No Easter Bunny, There's No Jack Frost, There's No Great Pumpkin, and There's No Santa Claus. And we need to bring it to the church and begin to say, it's time to take an offering, and I would like to have your blanket and your pacifier. Praise God. I don't mind feeding babies, honey. I don't mind it at all. Somebody said, do you have grandchildren? And I said, I've got 13 grandchildren. And she said, well, here's a book. And it was so cute. And I said, well, these are for my great-grandchildren. All of my children are having children. My children are now grandparents. So look, you know, I can't tell them what to do anymore. That's a shame. But it's a, that's that God is expecting you to grow up. Amen. You can't keep doing the old things and thinking that that's going to work. You've got to know there are seasons in life. And all of us look in the mirror, you can say, whatever I'm going to do, I need to do it really quick. Praise God. You know, I was thinking while you were dancing like that, I said, I remember when I kind of moved like that. I don't want to fool myself or you either thinking I ever moved like that. But it's in my heart I did. In my heart, I did it. But this is where, you know, I am delivered. Look, you don't have demons unless you want one. I mean, you can have whatever you desire, whatsoever things you desire, and that you can have all the demons you want to. Praise God. But the Word of God says, I am delivered from the power of darkness, and I have been translated into God's kingdom. Now, that's Colossians 1:13, so you can check it out. No, I'm not telling you a story. You're not going to be someday. You are when you say it, when you agree with it, when you make a decision. This is who I am. I am triumphant. I am victorious. I'm altogether glorious. I am a companion of like nature and Billy. From God's perspective, I'm already seated in heavenly places. Do you see yourself seated as the Mrs. Jesus Christ and that you're ruling and reigning? You can't do that with a baby attitude. I tell people all the time, don't mind feeding babies. But when I have to move a mustache to get the bottle in your mouth, I know... Something is not as, it's not as good as it should be. Praise God. Now, this is a great scripture. What we're doing, I tell you, the only thing that makes God happy is God, His Word, and you have to agree with it. So I just wanted to bring this Word to you today so that you can go back. I know you're taking notes, and I know it's going to be seen, but you need to get these things memorized. Do you understand? It needs to be a part of your profession. It's part of your confession. Keep saying it and saying it and saying it until it becomes yours. It gets out of your head, and it drops down into your heart, and then out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth begins to say, I am a child of God. I am a head, not a tell. I'm above and not beneath. I am blessed and empowered. Woo! There's more to me than what you say. I am bad. You hear me? Devil, you just met your worst nightmare. And you say it until you believe it. Then you begin to dance like Narco. You go, boom. You know, just point my toe. Praise God. I say, I got a cramp in my toe just watching you do that. Oh, praise God. I am already redeemed from the curse of the law. Oh, listen, I am, and I'm going to give you a scripture to back that up. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. This is what it says, and I could give you a lot of them. 1 Peter 1:18, 19. Listen, Christ has redeemed us from every curse, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. See, I was a sinner because I was born into sin, that my natural father was Adam, the Adamic nature. Jesus is not the second Adam, he's the last Adam. There is no more Adams out there. Praise God. He split the atom. Praise God. When the atom split, Christ came in. Can you say that? So you don't have an Adamic nature. So quit saying you do. Quit saying it's just part of my old nature. You don't have one. You remember, we buried him. Stay out of the graveyard. Deuteronomy 18, 10, 11, and 12, it says, when you come into the land the Lord thy God has given unto you, you can't act like the previous people that lived there. And you're the land. In the Old Testament, they're looking for a place to go. In the New Testament, you've become the land that flows with milk and honey. Milk, the sincere word of God. Honey is revelation. You flow with it. You don't drip with it. It's just flowing out of you because the Holy Ghost has everything that is needed. And this is such an incredible thing because the scripture says the curse without a cause cannot come. Got that? A curse without a cause. Say this with me. A curse without a cause cannot come. Okay, so with a problem, and I need a Kleenex. Anybody got a Kleenex here? Oh, here. I just say the word, and there it appeared. Oh, my goodness. John, thank you. Take one. They're small. Okay, praise God. I'm beginning to leak up here. Just so it says a curse without a cause cannot come. And then the Holy Spirit and getting the writers of the Old Testament, they wrote this out. A curse without a cause cannot come. So it must have been on the mind of God. So with a cause, obviously a curse can come on you. Legally, you don't have to have it. But if you go over there and have covenant with God on your own terms, you keep denying and doing what feels good instead of what God says. So he says, one of the things that will bring a curse on you is necromancy. You think, well, what in the world is that? That's talking to the dead. You remember when Saul went to the witch of Endor and it really ticked God off. He just didn't like it at all. And so when you begin to talk to dead things, you are a necromancer. When you begin to talk about your past, and you begin to talk about, I've been hurt, I've been wounded, and you're carrying unforgiveness and frustration, and I've been abused and misused. Well, join the ranks of the human family. Everybody has been misused and hurt and wounded and frustrated, and you can sit there and just chew on that dead thing, and death will be all over you, and everything is going to be broken. You're going to be sick. You're going to be afflicted. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be... Nobody's going to be interested in hearing your wah-wah story. Does that make sense? So I choose to release forgiveness on all of you, and that you will not have an Adamic nature. You'll no longer talk those lies. You're going to agree with God. Can you say amen to that? That is so significant that you learn how to do that. The scripture tells us that we are saints. I was a sinner, but I became a saint. And when the Holy Ghost would move upon ancient people to write scriptures, and it's all under the inspiration. Paul speaking, every church he went to, he said, to the saints of Corinth, to the saints of Galatia, to the saints, the Corinthian saints, they were miserable. Do you hear me? That was a bunch of sinning, crazy people, living with each other. I don't even want to talk about it, but it's enough to say it's in the Bible. It's exposed. Your humanity is so exposed. But just because you're doing it, you get the word of God. It says, don't do that anymore. Okay, quit acting the way the people did when they were in sin. You're not a sinner. Your attitude is different. And people say, well, I have to give this up and serve God. I thought, what'd you give up? You gave up hell? You know, what? tell me what the big deal on your great sacrifice. It's just an amazing thing. It says, well, I had to give up drugs and alcohol and stealing and lying and cheating and doing all of that, and I sure miss it. Well, let's dunk you again. You didn't get it the first time. If you're fighting that kind of stuff, then you have not believed or received. I mean, it's kind of like taking a bath with a wetsuit on and wonder why you still stink. I'm painting these graphic pictures so you remember. If you want the benefit of walking in the fullness of God, there is a procedure. Yes. Only believe. Yes. The disciples say, we want to do the works of God. We want to do the works of God. We want to heal sick, raise dead, cast out devil. Yee-hoo! Like that. And they said, tell us what we've got to do. And of course, they're looking for a long list. And Jesus said, only believe. Yeah. So you qualify if you are a believer. Now, let's understand, this is not an adjective when we say believer. A believer becomes a verb. Because if you say, I believe the house is on fire, and you continue to sit there at the table while blazes is going on, you say, yes, I believe it's on fire. But if you are a believer, there's some action. You will move away from the fire. Move away from the fire. Do not stay where the house is burning down. There are those of us that are in relationship that really, it was over 20 years ago that you're still hanging around. Do you hear what I'm saying? You just think, how many times do you have to be hit? How many times you have to be abused and hurt and wounded and think, well, God hates divorce. Well, I can give you a list of things he hated. And why do we make some of them more notable than others? I mean, it's just, God does not want you to be abused. He doesn't want you to be misused. Am I giving you a license to leave your husband? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm going to show you how to pray for that sucker and get his hands off of you. Praise God. You just met your worst nightmare. I've got these big angels hanging around. But, you know, we just get, well, there must be something wrong with me or he wouldn't hit me. Now, there is something wrong with you if you're thinking like that. Pray, you got a devil. You got one. Praise God. So you don't have to leave like you came in Jesus' name. Praise God. The Lord says, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Praise God. So the Word of God says in Galatians 3:9, listen, I am blessed. That means I am not cursed because I am agreeing with God. Listen to this. This is wonderful. I am blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed by believing in Abraham. Deuteronomy 28:1-14 will give you about the blessings of Abraham. You've got what made Abraham a cool cat is that he believed God. And that even though he lied about who his wife was and sold her down the river, threw her under the truck, you know, he is the father of faith. And then God told Abimelech, you touch the woman and I'll kill you. See, we do have a defender. That's the one. If there's somebody hurting you, I'm going to tell you, if he puts his hands on you to hurt you again, I'm going to kill him. You understand? You got that kind of power. Don't let it scare you. You are not to, God will defend you if you will begin to talk right. Don't let anybody, you go to work and they're mean at you at work. You don't have to put up with that. You're a child of God. You're the blessed. You're the healed. You're the delivered. You're the, you got the master charge, honey. You're just here just releasing the power of God wherever you go in your countenance, your conduct, and your conversation. You're the winner. You walk in, you change the atmosphere. And of course, it's going to make the devil mad. Well, you got power over that. You got power over that. I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. You get that little, look, you see this? You see this? You just sneak into the office. Take a little salt with you. Put it in your purse. And it's more dangerous than dynamite sticks. You understand? Because this is just, does this have power? No, but obedience does. And you speak the word of God. God, you said, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. But if I keep putting up with bad behavior and allowing it to take place, if you believe, you've got to activate your believer. Am I making sense? Okay. Now, the word of God says in Ephesians 1:4, I am holy, without blame before him I love. Okay, before God, when God looks at me, holy, this is what holy means. You have to have long hair. Can't wear makeup. Long dresses. Can't get your nails done. You can't look like the world. You have to look like you're real sick. There is no premium on ugly. I want you to know that. It's very important that you know that. Praise God. Holy simply means I've been set aside for the express purpose of God. I've been set aside. I've been made holy. I've been made holy. And so God would have anoint people and that the oil has no power within itself, but the act of obedience in doing what God says, in believing his word, you do not have to put up with negative behavior because you are a head. You are not a tail. You are above. You are in charge wherever you are. You understand? You go in. I'm never confused about who's in charge. Shabakutura, me got somebody. You know, I've lived this so long until I believe it. You see, if I could unzip you, God would jump on you. You just, all of you, this is just his hiding place. You know, I sing that song, you are my hiding place. And then he says, and you are mine, you are my hide. We're playing hide and seek. I'm telling you for sure that I just look like a person. You know, this happens, this is what gets me into the women's bathroom. Praise God. It's just a container. Praise God. They come in red and yellow and black, and they come in medium, large, and small, and they come in all sizes, containers, because God says there are vessels of glory that God has made you to fit in a place that nobody else can fit in, so you don't have to compete with anybody. When I see Wonder Man play this fiddle that's overgrown. And I know that he didn't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll do this, you know, that it took years of discipline. It took years of listening and hearing. He had the talent, but the talent had to be disciplined. You have the gift, but it's going to have to be disciplined. And the way you discipline is that you stop saying negative things. You stop saying, I'm sick, I'm oppressed, I'm down, things are bad, I don't like this, I don't like that. You must, but you can't just say it like, I've memorized it. I'm a head, not a tail, I'm above and not beneath, I'm blessed, I'm wherever I go. How are you today? Blessed, highly favored. You know, it's like talking to robots. You know, there's no... Don't you just hate it when you say, hey there, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Okay. How are the kids? Great. Anointed. Well, I read where they were in jail. You know, is there anything I can do to help you? I said, everything's fine. No problem. Let me show you where a little dog didn't bite me. You know, it's a... We've got to be able that while you're in this body, you're going to have to be able to relate to other people. Can you say amen? Because we are humans in the midst of this. The scripture says, I am holy and without blame before the Lord, just as he has chose us in himself. Now watch this. This is what the word of God says. Just as the Lord has chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame and before him in love. See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes in, and you're going to have to look at yourself and say, you can't say, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too short, I'm too tall, my nose isn't right, I need plastic surgery. You know, I've got, and you begin to enumerate all these things that you feel like's wrong with you. You need to look in that mirror and you need to begin to say, I am the apple of God's eye. That you begin to say, I am holy and without blame. You begin to say, and those words go in, and the things that you need to do to discipline the memory of the Adamic nature and the hurts and the wounds are really pushed out. The more you put the word of God in, those other words that come trying to condemn, trying to confuse, trying to accuse, they are pressed out. We are full of God to the degree that we have been emptied of self. Does that make you relate to that? So you can change anything if it's meaningful to you. But the way you change it is that your words have to change. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of words that must be voice activated. How many of you have a GPS? They're lying things. And if there's ever a place they can direct you to that's twice as long as it's where you're going, you know. And then you set it for where you're going. This is my destination. This is where life is. The Holy Ghost is sort of like your GPS. And said, this is my life. I am headed toward manifesting the power of God. And I put it in my computer. And I'm driving down a highway of holiness, and I decide, I wonder what's over there. And I get off the beaten path. And while I'm over there, the GPS comes and says, recalculate. But the way you know it's God talking to you, he'll say, recalculate. You're off track. Oh, okay. But if it's the devil, you dirty fool, you're in the wrong place. Once again, you have messed up in your life. You're never going to get on the right track. You'll never get to where you think you're going. You were cursed from the beginning. Praise God, you worthless thing. I'm a worthless thing, and I got off the highway, and I just wanted to see what was over here. I was just curious. Oh, now you moan and groan, you despicable creature. You know, and then says, that's the Holy Spirit correcting me. Listen, any voice that comes to you to condemn you, you have not heard God. Anything that finds fault with you, now God will bring correction, but not rejection. Amen. There is a difference between condemnation and conviction. And if you say, I've been convicted because I feel miserable, you have not heard God. He is going to speak to you and say, if you don't want to be sick, you're going to have to change possibly the way you're eating, possibly the way you're acting. You know, give some considerations. I'm going to give you some facts here. But you have to be the one to have the courage to move in the direction of the answer. Many of us self-sabotage because we don't want to change. We just want to wake up and say, the grace of God did it all. Well, he's making you a companion of like nature and ability, and you have to be discipled. This is what the word says. I am victorious, according to 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, now thanks be to God, who always, all the time, every time, causes me to win. Waters are flowing. Praise God. I told you I was leaking up here. The scripture says here that God always causes you to be victorious. He causes us in triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Do you believe that? Amen. Yeah. Yes. Do you believe you're beautiful? Do you believe you're wonderful? Do you believe you're talented? Are you happy about you? I just curse that ego devil out for you. Praise God. Now, see, that's the diversity where you get, oh, I'm so wonderful and marvelous. You know, I get, yay. I did a conference in Malaysia. It was so funny. And it was called the Esther Generation. And it was about Queen Esther. But it looked like the estrogen. They wrote it on a big banner. And it looked like the estrogen generation. You know, it's just like, that is not exactly what we're looking for. So we're not saying we're so great and wonderful because we're female. We're because we are born again is what makes us great and wonderful. And if I put my, you know, we're all black, we're all white. You put your stuff in foolishness like that, that has nothing to do with your greatness. Amen. The root of all culture is cult. So, you know, you think, well, I'm going to preserve my culture. God's got a culture, and he'll preserve that. Praise God. I don't know what else I can drop. This is such a little thing up here. Praise God. It takes a lot of room for me. Thank you, Teddy. She's got the magic oil. Praise God. Listen, 1 Peter 2:24. Are you learning something? Okay, 1 Peter 2:24. I am dead to sin. I don't know. You're free to be who God made you to be. You need to be transparent. You need to be real. You need to be authentic. Amen. And you need to learn how to talk to people. You need to be able to say tricky things like, hi. And acknowledge the presence of people when they come around you. Don't ignore them like they're little robots, you know, like this. And so nobody, I don't know who they are, so I'm not going to speak to them. My friend Pam Chesbro from California, and she came down to Louisiana for a while. So did John. They came down and lived with us for a while, and we got to travel, do all kind of great things here. I'm going to ask him to share something in just a minute, and it'll surprise you. But when you get to know people, and she came down, we'd gone to the grocery store together, And we'd pass people, hey there, how you doing? Good to see you today. Yeah, having a good time, feeling good. You feel, people come to me and say, I got these fever blisters, what do you think? And I said, look like herpes to me. You know, it's just, but it's, you got to be interested in people. You got to be smiling, look like you're up to something. Life draws life, amen? And I'm speaking to everybody. She said, do you know all these people? I said, I never seen them in my life. And she said, well, I want to tell you something. When you come to California, don't do that. she said, you run around talking, hey there, how you doing? She says, they're going to think you crazy. Are you up to something? It's just, see, you have to cross-pollinate and bring the things that you see that work. And I just want to encourage you that in a group like this, when we have our lunch, I don't know what time it is. Okay, it's 11:30. Oh, praise God. I will be through. You get it translated. Praise God. Now, this is for those of you who are daily crucifying yourself. You know, just, I'm bearing my cross and I'm dying daily. Okay. Put this in your pipe. According to Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been. Is that past? Okay. I have been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I who live, but now it is Christ that's living in me. And the new life, which I now live, I'm living it in my flesh, but I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Jesus didn't die for me. He died as me. So I just look like a woman. This is my earth suit. This is my container. This is where God lives. Behold, the dwelling place of the Most High God is in Zion. You are Mount Zion, the dwelling place of God. He's in there. It's like Prego. It's in there. Praise God. Quit asking him to fall on you. He's not falling. He's flowing. He's already come down. Now he wants to come up. Do you understand? And let God arise. And then the enemy is scattered. And the enemy, you know, we get to thinking, oh, the devil can do this and the devil can do that. Now hear this. The devil is defeated. He has no power except what you give him. Give him nothing, regardless of what the facts look like. Facts and truth are not always the same. The facts may be, but the truth is I am healed, I am delivered, and I am rich. Need to talk. Listen, I like to talk to my money. I think I told y'all I have two dogs, one named Money, and the other one's named Debt Free. Learn to talk right. Now, Money is 15 years and 10 months, and she's got a little age on her. And George said to me, that's my husband. He said, honey, you know, Money's getting old. I got old Money. He said, if the Lord calls her home while you're gone, what do you want me to do? I said, sucker. You raise that dog from the dead. You hear me? You give her mouth to mouth of whatever she needs to get up. All this talk about how powerful we are. Don't you let my dog die. Praise God. Isn't it amazing how attached we can get to animals? I'm doing a series with Sid Roth on It's Supernatural, and we're going to start it's a weekly program for 30 minutes, and what I do is what I'm doing right now. I'm talking, and yeah, it's going to be good. He said that we are really targeting the Middle East, and he said that he said your viewing audience, well, your potential is 50 million people that are just going to hear me do what I'm doing with you. I just tell stories. And then I provoke people to believe that God loves them here and that even in the midst of their foolishness, God still loves them and that I am crucified with Christ. I am alive with Christ. Ephesians 2:5. even when we were dead in trespasses, we have made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It is the grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's, what did it, come on, God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh, my goodness gracious. And I am already reconciled to God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now I can come boldly into the presence of God. I can just boldly come in. And it's not brassy bowl, it's gold bowl, because he's invited me. So the way I come in is I come in, hallelujah, hallelujah, it's me again. So in the morning when I'm saying my prayers and I get my checkbook out, and it lies to me a lot. And you can't believe that. So somebody sent me... I know the power of a tambourine. The scripture tells you that every time you shake a tambourine, God lays a hammer on the devil's head. Don't you love that? See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, and he says, cry aloud, you inhabitants of Zion. So I got this. This lady sent me this tambourine. And when you shake it, it lights up. You know, ding, a ding, a ding, a ding. You know, it's just one. And I shake it and it goes like this. And I'm going, And the neighbors, they don't know what's going on. They don't know. They think George is beating me, but that's the. But people have to believe what they have to be. I need release, you know. And they go. And my husband say, honey. How can we be awakened to the gift of God? What can I say to you? What can I do to you today to beat the devil off of you? The unbelief, the frustration, the limitation. You know, can I do something to you that will shake you and say, oh my God, I've been unbeliever. And I'm looking at my checkbook and I'm saying, you rascal, you lying devil. Get off my money. And little money's on one side and debt-free's on the other. They know how to pray. Because I'm saying, come here, money. Roll over, money. Deposit money. Yeah, learn how to talk. You need to buy you a goldfish and name him Prosperity or something. You know, begin to talk like you believe something's going on. So the Word of God says, I am free. I'm free to be me, John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you will abide in my word, oh, you mean there's a process here? Are you a process preacher? Well, there are some ifs. If you do this, then I'll do that. So I found I can no longer afford the luxury of disagreeing with God. So this is some things that I wanted to tell you. I just love this. This is going to make you so, so happy. I'm not going to tell that story. Okay. I was doing a teleconference, and people was on there, and I began to prophesy vast amounts of wealth. And this lady was said, now, you guys, if you're going to pay to listen to me talk, you need to pay attention. And then, because, I mean, this is an investment that you've made. You spent money to come here today. You need to get your money's worth. Amen? So you have to choose to understand, to comprehend, to believe, and to receive the decrees of the prophet. I am decreeing over you and vast amounts of wealth to be released supernaturally. Can that happen? Yes. Is it just my word or is it God's word? Yes. Believe the prophet and what will happen? I'm telling you, God, he would send me here to tell you, you're not sick. You're not poor. All of your children are disciples taught of the Lord and with great peace and undisturbed composure. And when you get off the beaten path, the Holy Ghost is going to say something like, recalculate. Instead of, you idiot, when you begin to get these condemning voices that said, well, you knew you couldn't do that business. You knew you couldn't do this or couldn't do that. But this lady, you're just going to love this. Let me get over where I can find it. I've got so many testimonies, so many wonderful testimonies. Okie dokie. There's this woman that was on the line, and she said, I just don't know what I can do. I want to do something in the kingdom of God. I just love God, but I don't know what to do. And I said, then I'm going to prophesy to you. You've got this incredible gift that God's going to just put upon your life. Here it is. Oh, my goodness. I need two hands here. There we go. All right, this little boy, Teresa's testimony, and this woman called, and she said, let me see here. There's some real incredible things here, praise God. Okay. I asked for prayer for my uncle who was in ICU. He had a stroke. He could not speak. His carotid artery was 100% blocked on one side. Surgery was 100% unsuccessful. And I called you, and you sent me a prayer. And you sent me a prayer cloth into the ICU. And I took it, and I took it, and I took it, and I took it. Listen, it's an action. I did my part. And she said, you sent me a prayer, and I came into agreement and two witnesses while touching my uncle. In 24 hours, they had to completely see what had happened. He was singing praises, songs to the Lord. He was walking. He went home. He could talk. He could walk. He could sing. And I told my uncle it was going to be a miracle, miraculous recovery so others can see that we house a supernatural God and the power of prayer, the power of prayer. This is just absolutely, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. My son Paul is 6.5 years old. Within 2 years, he collapsed 3 times in the nursery and more times at home. These collapses continued to increase. He would lose consciousness. The cardiologist said the collapses were caused that he had a deviant heart rhythm because of the heart rate time has prolonged 56% in my son's heart. This is a doctor's report here. The doctor said that the next collapse, we could definitely lose our son, that he could not live, and neither could he take the medicine. When I saw my son collapse, then I decided to give him the medicine anyway. This means that he has to take medicine to the end of his life. He has this deviant cord in his heart that makes sounds and gurgles when blood hits it. Please pray for his complete healing. Dear Dr. Fluitt, yesterday my son had a medical checkup in Budapest. The best and more well-known cardiologist said that my son's heart has been totally healed and they cannot explain it. It is no longer necessary for him to take the medicine. And I asked the doctor to write it down. We are so very happy. All the way back home, we were worshiping Jesus for this miracle. Thank you again for the power of prayer, of teaching us how to pray, of teaching us to pray the Word of God. You have to activate. You have to ratify. This lady that I'm telling you, I was in this church, and we were in New Jersey. This lady came in. And she'd come in from, I think, Kenya. This lovely young Christian woman named Toby. She had recently moved to America from Kenya. Toby had two little boys, a two-year-old named Mercy and a six-week-old named Goodness. Little Goodness was very sick. He had a life-threatening heart defect. He had recently been released from 3 weeks' stay at the neonatal intensive care at Beth Israel Medical Center in Newark. Toby had been invited to a ministry meeting where I was speaking. Toby was a stranger in a foreign land with nothing familiar. She had to organize everything that was needed to get two babies, one very sick, to get to the meeting. It was an incredible act of faith on her part to secure transportation and to overcome the fear of exposing her fragile little Goodness to a public environment, which the doctors had said not to do. When I arrived at the church, Toby and her children were already there. I recognized immediately the necessity to pray. Little Goodness was a beautiful baby boy who was experiencing very erratic breathing. I visited with Toby, and then I anointed Goodness with oil. I laid my hands on his little chest, and I cast the devil out. And I asked the Lord, would you give him a new heart? I also secured a red prayer cloth to his clothing and prophesied that he would live and he would serve the cause of Christ. His breathing became calm, and he went to sleep. Much more drama was to follow. We gathered after the meeting, we shared fellowship luncheon. Goodness woke up and Toby began to nurse him. Goodness lost his breath, struggling for his life. It became a very tense moment. The pastor took the limp baby in her arms and everyone rallied, and we all began to quote scriptures and the promises of God, the word of God. Goodness took a breath and became calm and settled in his mother's arms. Story continues. The next day, she had to take Goodness to the doctor, and the doctor sent the baby to the emergency room with the diagnosis of the strong possibility of complete heart failure. Goodness was transferred to the NIC unit, where he was scheduled for immediate heart surgery at New York University. But before he could be transferred from New Jersey to New York, he experienced a complete heart failure. His body turned blue, and he stopped breathing. A nurse took him into another room, and he was declared dead. Goodness' lungs had collapsed, and he had died. No one bothered to tell his mother, Toby, that her baby was dead. She kept asking. She had broken language. It was a real challenge. She asked where he was. Someone gave her the room number. When Toby went unknowingly into the room, she saw her baby completely lifeless and covered with a sheet. I love this story. She tore off the sheet. She grabbed her baby, and she began calling on the name of Jesus. And she said, the prophet has spoken the word that Goodness would live and serve the Lord. And she called her name. She called her son's name and commanded that he come back to life, that a prophet had spoken over him. Goodness immediately revived. A gifted Muslim surgeon performed a critical surgery on him. And later the doctor told Toby that the little Goodness was deathly sick. He was so extremely fragile. Something miraculous had kept him alive and brought him back from the dead. Toby smiled and said, yes, it was Jesus. And the Muslim doctor smiled and said, it must have been Jesus. I'm happy to report Goodness is now a happy, healthy, very active little boy. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This one more I'm going to share with you. This is just too crazy. This, let me tell you, don't you just love these stories? Just love these stories. This lady called, and she's Susie Homemaker. And she says, I just wish I could find something that I could contribute. And so I prayed for her, and I said, you know, everybody has a gift. Everybody has a talent. Everybody's got something going on. And I said, you've got that. And she said, well, she wrote back to me, and she says, and I have prophesied over, say prophesied, the word of God, that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, if you'll believe and not doubt, you can have what you say, not necessarily what you pray. So if you're praying for prosperity and saying you're broke, you just dug your seed up. Get your tongue to line up. Praise God. This lady's name is Linda. She says, after you prayed for me, I began to believe I had purpose. Then I began to desire to paint. I've never painted, never had a gift in that direction. But God opened a door for me to get some watercolor painting. And so I decided that must be the ministry that God has for me. I'll be a watercoloring painting person. I love this. Listen, listen. In 8 weeks, I painted 52 paintings. I had never painted anything in my life. I sold 30 of them nationwide. Then I decided I'd have an art show, and I sold 19. The best and greatest thing is that people know that it's God doing this and not me. And I put a scripture on all of my paintings. So each painting has a cross, and they have to find it like a little treasure, and they also have a Bible verse. The most supernatural thing is I don't know how to paint. I never knew that I could paint. People say when they look at my painting, they feel such peace. I am so blown away by God answering your prayer. You prayed for me, and you said, I decree and declare that new doors of opportunity that you don't know about will arise, and that you and your family will not have any hesitation walking through them, and they will be purpose and destiny filled. Your prayers were answered. I now have my own painting business, which is called Joy Works by Linda. I have now painted 250 paintings in 12 weeks. They have sold all over the country. God's Word is now living in 120 rooms across the country. Each painting has a Bible verse and a great cross on it. Now I've been in 3 art shows. I've won the People's Choice Award. I'm now having speaking engagements to share my testimony. The paintings have been turned now into fabric, and now I'm making clothing and pillows. There's nothing. This is short of a miracle. I am so gifted. As of today, my painting business continues to flourish, and I have expanded into now taking referrals, and I have become a coach and a mentor to others who are interested in painting or starting some kind of business. Does that do something for you? So when we go over these and we begin to look at what these are the promises of God, and they're for everybody, but this is the victorious church. This is the glorious church. Now, John and his wife and another group of people, we went to Europe and we went to Australia, and we've been to Israel, we've been all the countries. So he has seen this ministry in action. That's why he leaves his home and comes home and helps me out on the stage, just being here, because his faith is great in the realm of the miraculous. But I wanted to share with you some of the things that, from his perspective, you know, he's got this wonderful, brilliant mind, and I'm just a plain old country girl, you know. So he's going to tell you about weather changes. You've got power over the weather. Do you understand what I'm saying? Would you tell about what happened in Australia? And I was speaking, as I prophesied to the fountains of the deep, you foul devil from the pit of hell, I curse you. And the next day in the paper, this beast, a prehistoric thing, came up on the shore. And you have to see it to be a part of it. This is my brother John. Hey, God bless you. Yes. Stir their faith.
What a joy it is to be here, and what a joy it's been in my life to be able to witness exactly as an eyewitness of what everything you're hearing this morning and last evening, and you have yet to hear later this afternoon and tomorrow morning, so don't miss it, okay? Bottom line, where do you begin? Do we begin the time that we went to Israel in 2005, and I was offered a free trip because someone was ill, and I said to Clarice, well, why are we going to Israel? She says, we're going to change a government. And I said, well, that's very nice, okay? And so you can imagine my belief level on a scale of 1 to 10 was 0.5, okay? And so I went along with the program, and I could tell you a long story about how this all happened. But we went to this place and that place, and we decreed and we declared and we shared our faith, and we chose to believe. You see, faith is a gift. Belief is a choice. You have to make the right choice. You have to believe the word of the prophet. Now, you know what happens if you don't believe the word of the prophet? What happened to Zechariah when the angel spoke to him? Deaf. Couldn't speak. Stupid. So you get the spirit of stupid when you don't believe. Okay? I'm preaching. Okay, so we had this wonderful time in Israel, absolutely a life-changing experience, meeting wonderful people, exercising our faith. We come home. And 3 days later, I'm sitting in my chair, and I open up Google News, and the government of Israel has changed. Ariel Sharon had a stroke. Everything shifted. The Likud party came back into power. And the shift in government kept Israel from trading land for peace, which was a failed policy. And it's the strong nation today as a result of faith, as a result of believing, as a result of declaring. That's Israel. Now we can go to Australia, and we're waiting for a water taxi. Isn't that a fun thing? A water taxi. So you get on a boat, and it takes you where you want to go in Sydney Harbor. And as we're waiting, we're standing in line, and we're speaking with various folks from around that part of the world. And Clarice is sharing with a couple. And she said, well, why are you here in Australia? Well, we're here to bless the land. And she goes, well, I would love it if you would bless our land up in Queensland. We've had a terrible drought for how long was it? 2 or 3 years?
5 years.
5 years of a drought, okay? It was horrible. And of course, Clarice says, well, you came to the right person. She prayed, and she said, I declare that you will have rain and that your drought will be over. Now, I have the article at home in my file, the New Zealand newspaper. Within 24 hours, it rained 3.5 feet. Okay? It was written up by the scientific community in Australia as an unbelievable anomaly. And at the bottom of the article, the provincial governor had pronounced that the drought was over. Okay, now this is only two of situations that I could spend the rest of the afternoon sharing with you. The bottom line is you have to believe the word of the prophet. Otherwise, you get stupid. And remember, faith is a gift, but belief is a choice.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Praise God.
Father, I just thank you right now. If you'll just play, and I'm going to decree over you. Father God, I thank you that the church dominates all history and all future events into the eternity that is to come. We decree that the church is triumphant. It is glorious. It is triumphant. The universe was created for one purpose, and that is to generate, to nurture, to educate an eternal companion for God's Son. We thank you, Lord, that we are the bride indeed, and our name is Beulah. We're not waiting to get married. We have a covenant. All power, all authority has been given. Our purpose today is to release into the atmosphere the revelation of the life stream of restoration truth coming into the church throughout all of history, because this is the season of the appearing of the sons of God. This is the season that new wine comes into new wineskin. This is a season for things that have never been seen before. This is a season of greatness. The dark night is over and a new day has broken. This is the season while the earth shakes and quakes and terrorists run and men are confused. Why do the nations rage? Because they are dead men and women walking. Until an individual is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they have no power or authority. Mukabah, the church has the power. The church has the authority. You are the ones that will begin to say, in the authority of the name of Jesus, I speak that our nation, our county, our state, our schools, our churches are filled with the power, the dunamis, and the glory of God, that to make a choice, and to become a voice, to understand, a decision is not a conversion. But until you make a choice, until you make a decision, nothing changes. I decree into the atmosphere, there will be a motivation in this church, an inspired motivation to become a vital part of the triumphant church, just not knowing with our heads, but possessing in our hearts a zeal that we hear God and that together we have the mind of Christ. Father, we thank you right now. Religious traditions of the mind of man, they cannot stand in this place. Father, there is a jubilee going on. We decree and prophesy, Lord, before your imminent return in a people, before you return for a people. Father, I believe Jesus is coming for Jesus, a companion of like nature and ability. No moaning, no groaning, no crying, no complaining, but walking in authority and dignity and power. I decree that we come in humility, we come in repentance, we come in the unity of believers, Father. We come with tenacity and importunity and intensity and confident expectations. Father, we thank you right now that you hear us when we pray. Because we pray in the authority of the name of Jesus. We are not ordinary, but extraordinary. So we can bend to serve. Lord God, I thank you for each and every person, for their family. I speak divine health upon their bodies. I speak, Lord God, divine wealth and prosperity and wisdom and kindness and gentleness and power and authority. And the end to self-hate, low self-esteem, unworthiness, frustration, limitation. We decree today that you will never compare yourself to anybody. If God is for you, the only thing that can be against you is you. Change your mind about you. Change your mind about you. And whatever needs to be changed are in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, you have the ability to decide. The choice, the decision to move as a victorious, triumphant bride. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a shout.